All right? Now, before I pray over the offering and then we have video announcements, I have the privilege to introduce our guest speaker this morning. Now, you'll say, oh, guest speaker. Well, here's how this works, okay? So I, usually the first Sunday of the year, of the new year, you know, there's some great message of vision and all the things we're going to do this year and all these, that's a typical message. You're going to get that next Sunday. But my friend, Jeff, who is a missionary to Thailand, okay, we support him here at the church. He called me a few months ago and he said, hey, I'm going to fly in and I'm going to minister at your church. And I said, yes, you are. And he said, and the only Sunday I have is this Sunday. And I go, okay. So I will do anything for a missionary. So if they say, hey, I'm gonna minister, then yes, a missionary can, they have full reign. So if Jeff, this is his first time back in the States in 18 months from Thailand. So if you don't understand a word he's saying, he's because he's from Michigan. So get ready. You have no idea. Jeff has been a friend of mine for 10 years now, and he is wonderful. He has the heart of gold. Many of you may have heard this story, and maybe you haven't, but this is one of my favorite stories to tell of just the seasons of where you are in your relationship with God and the growth of things. So, man, I may get teary-eyed. I'm getting teary-eyed thinking about it right now. So we are building this warehouse. And my friend Justin calls me up. He's a pastor in Ohio, and he has multiple campuses. And Jeff was once one of his campus pastors. And so Justin said, hey, how's the warehouse going? How's the building and everything? And I said, oh, man. I said, it's really hard. And he said, well, and this was during COVID, by the way. So a lot of churches were shut down. A lot of things were happening. Businesses, obviously, as you know. And so he says, well, what do you need? And I go, I need people. I was like, I need people. He said, well, I can send some guys. And I was like, for real? He's like, oh, you're serious. And I was like, oh, I'm dead serious. So he sent some guys down. And one of those guys was Jeff. And I was so blessed to have Jeff. And so I have a photo of Jeff right here. So show the photo. This is Jeff sanding the floors right over here. And Jeff and a few of those guys came down from Ohio and sanded the floors for 4 or 5 days straight, nonstop. They didn't even stop. Like, they just kept sanding back and forth, back and forth. And here's one of my favorite stories that I have with Jeff. So Jeff is sanding, and he stops, and we're like sitting here on the stage, and we're hanging out. And he goes, man, hasn't this time been so great with the Lord? You know, during COVID, there's been a hard break on life, and you've been able just to sit in the presence of God. He goes, I feel like everywhere I go, God's just talking to me, and that God's just revealing so many good things. And he's like, do you feel that some way? I go, no. I said, I've been sanding these stupid floors for months. I've been building things for months. What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I feel like I could walk on water. And I was like, you shut your face. I'm drowning. So I was like, it was one of my favorite moments to just sit back. And he said, well, you know what? He said, your time will come where you'll just get to hear the presence of God, or we get to hear God's voice in the presence of God. And I go, oh man, well, I look forward to that day. But I love this man. This man is so good. His family is so precious to all of us. His wife, Elizabeth, they've adopted three children, Ethne, and then Ezra, and then Isaiah. And all three of them are just amazing. And so he and his wife, they are over in Thailand with New Life Commission. And it is a beautiful ministry that we get to support here. So you'll hear more about it in just a second. So let's pray, and then we'll get into some announcements and all the good stuff. So let's do it. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. God, we're so thankful, Lord, for all that you're doing through this church, God, to reach to the furthest of north, south, east, and west. And so, God, I'm so thankful for this. Lord, as we've given this morning, it's not out of compulsion, but Lord, it is cheerful. It's beautiful. It's a sweet aroma as you have instructed us to do. And so, God, we thank you for this. Lord, we're so thankful that every need is being met. Lord, we give you the honor. We give you the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, everyone. I'm Karen. Here are some things coming up around Trailhead Church. Remember to download our app to make sure you don't miss the rest of the events happening at Trailhead. The next rally night is coming up soon, and you won't want to miss it. Several times a year, our middle and high school students gather together with student groups from around the area for a night of worship, God's Word, games, and of course, free food. Think of this as a one-night youth camp experience. It's a chance for us to regroup, have fun together, and get recharged and refocused to go out and reach everyone we know with the love of Jesus. So mark your calendars and invite a friend. Find out more in the Events tab in the Trailhead app. On the first Sunday of every month, we set aside time to come together in prayer as a church to seek God for our families, communities, and our church. If you're passionate about seeing God move in your life and at Trailhead, this is the place to be. Come out tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. At Trailhead, we love being in God's presence, and that's what our upcoming worship night is all about. On Sunday, January 28th, starting at 6 p.m., the Trailhead worship team will lead us in a full hour of powerful worship aimed at getting our focus and our hearts back on God. Child care is not available, but children are more than welcome to join you in the service. That night, we'll also be celebrating with those being baptized. One of the most powerful experiences that you can have as a Christian is being baptized in water. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus, baptism is your next step, and we want to celebrate with you. Don't miss this opportunity to experience the unity and support of fellow believers as you go public with your faith. Find out more and sign up in the Events tab in the Trailhead app. If you have questions about anything happening at Trailhead, our friendly Next Steps team would love to help. You can find them right in the middle of the lobby at our info desk, or you can always connect with us online.
New Life Commission. Since 2022, we've lived in Thailand on the Burmese border, bringing hope, help, and healing. We partner with Life Impact International, who for over 20 years have been working to prevent, rescue, and heal children involved in human trafficking. At Life Impact's Promised Land, rescued children live with their forever families. For many of these children, it's the first time they've lived in a home free from the fear of being used, abused, or sold. God continues to open doors for us to make a difference here. We are so grateful for your support to keep bringing hope, help, and healing to Thailand. I'm here with Pastor Seo Men. We're at Emmanuel Evangelical Church, and we had the opportunity to support and help them create this new bathroom facility, this new road, and it's been amazing. So unfortunately for you, the better looking team got left at home. So I'm so excited to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. I got to say, I really love this church. Like, I really love this church, and it's great. And it's hard because everyone walks into this building, and you're like,
You just do, and then you see details, and you're like, there's a mountain there, and there's a mountain there. And if you go into the prayer room, there's a really tall mountain that goes to the top because Josh let me build something, and nobody told me that there was a limit to the peaks. But it's so amazing that it's easy to miss the most wonderful part of this facility. This facility is fruit. It's fruit. It's fruit of lots of time, insane, incomprehensible amounts of time. I do remember that. He's just like, no, I'm not hearing Jesus. You know, it's like, I'm half dead, you know. It's time and resources and blood and sweat and tears and it's fruit, but it's fruit of you as a body. Like, that's why, if you've been here, this is why you feel so home, at home in such an amazing facility, because this came out of you as a body. It's fruit of them. It's fruit of your pastors, of their faithfulness, their dedication, their stewardship, their ridiculous creativity and insane effort, and it's ridiculous. I love them. I love them so much. They've been so gracious to me. You guys, we tried to get a new home in Thailand. We moved because my kids needed a yard, because in the place we live, there aren't parks or playgrounds or anything. It's just, I don't know, it's weird. But like, so we had nowhere, and I got three little kids. I don't have Thai kids. I got American kids. They don't stop ever, and they're not quiet. The four loudest people in the nation live in my house. My wife's an introvert. You pray for her. But it's crazy. So, like, we found a place with a yard, and so we were so excited. And you actually don't know this, but you helped me, or maybe you do. You helped me move, because there were some costs in moving, and so I'm so grateful. But Pastor Josh, he tells me all the time, he's like, hey, listen, you need to talk, you want to text, whatever, just hit me up all the time. But for someone called to somewhere so foreign and far, like, that kind of support and connection is everything. It really means the world. But so I really do love them. It's quite great. And I got to have cheesecake the other day with Pastor Josh. Oh, it's from Jesus. I tell you what. You don't know. Anyway, sorry. I've been a couple places, and they said it was cheesecake. At least that's what Google Translate said it was, and it wasn't. I'm just going to say, I don't know what it was or where it came from or what animal, but it was just not. So, but this building is fruit of Jesus. Like, you should look around. When you read the Old Testament, it talks about the temple. It represented God. This, I mean, his faithfulness, his love, his provision, his joy. You look around, it's like, man, it took gifting to just see. It was a vision to walk into a warehouse and go, that could be a church. That's from God. That's amazing. And so I love it. I'm so grateful. I'm going to do my best. I keep waiting for the translator. I preach on Sunday mornings sometimes at the Promised Land, and it will go in from English to Thai and then into Burmese. And so, like, I say something, and then I'm just waiting because it's got to go two more times. And so I struggle, because a missionary, you like to tell people what you do, but I'm like a better preacher than I am like a reporter. So I'll try and stick to the information I'm supposed to give, but I'm the founder of New Life Commission, and our hope is to bring hope, help, and healing wherever Jesus tells us to go. And so for us, hope is the gospel. You know, this is new life. Hope is salvation and eternity. Help is just practical needs, just meeting people where they're at, what they need in their season, in that moment. And then healing is from your pains of the past or physical pains, whatever's going on, prayer, discipleship, however we can help people. And so for the last year and a half, as Pastor Josh said, my family and I, we moved to Thailand, and we work with this amazing organization called Life Impact. And so I got to do a quick shout out, though, wherever it is. But today, I was talking about my family. Today is my son Ezra's 6th birthday. And so he's a hi, Ezra, you're amazing. I love you. Happy birthday to wherever the camera is. But so they're going to a trampoline park. He's so thrilled. So it'll be amazing. But so we're there, and for 20 years, Life Impact, or for a little more than 20 years, they've been working to prevent, rescue, and heal children involved in human trafficking. And so I really thought, when I moved there to work with them, I'm like, I'm going to be Liam Neeson and Taken. You know, like, I'm going to be that guy, the agent from Sound of Freedom, right? You know, like, that's what I thought. You know, I'm going to bust some head, you know. But like being a college swimmer and going to Bible school does not make you a commando, I guess. No matter how many Expendables movies I watch, I'm still not that guy. So I do a lot more with the preventing and the healing portion. They tell me all the time I'm like too white to go anywhere than not be noticed. I'm also way bigger than everyone. It's cool. Like I'm in a crowd and I'm seeing over everybody. It's so different. But it's really fun. But these kids, where I work, there's a promised land. And all the kids you saw in the video where you didn't see their face, it's against the law. It's international felony to show the face of a child who's been rescued or trafficked or anything like that. And so, but there's over 70 rescued children that are currently living at the promised land with what we call their forever family. So they've been rescued, and they're in a home with a mom and a dad who's Thai or Burmese, and that's their home now. And it's wonderful, and it's amazing. And there's at the land, there's over 70 staff, and some of the staff are Thai and Burmese, and then some of them are young adults who were rescued and are now grown, and they're rescuing. They're the ones trying to help rescue the next generation. And these kids, they have such crazy backgrounds. So one of the things I get to do is I get to be a pastor on the land. So one of my roles that I get to do is I'm trying to grow and help these families, trying to bring that healing, trying to bring just spiritual growth and depth into their life. And so it's a great privilege, but they just have stories. Like these kids have stories that it's hard to like believe, let alone try and imagine. Because we don't, like I'm there and I don't understand. Like it conceptually doesn't make sense. So there's this wonderful guy, his name is Long Life. And his mom, when she was pregnant, at 6 months pregnancy, she took poison and aborted him because she didn't want to be pregnant. And so someone found his body in a dumpster. Yeah. And so the hospital actually called and connected to Life Impact, and he wasn't, based on his prematurity and the poison that was in him, he wasn't going to live. And so they named him Long Life, and they cared for him and they prayed for him. He's about 10 now. And he's got some lingering stuff, but this is what I love, man. I love it because he always, always, always just has this big smile, and he always gives me a big high five. And that's Long Life, and I just love him. And there's just these so many kids, and so we started working with this organization not because, it sounds weird, but not because the problem was so bad, because human trafficking, I'm not an expert in it, I just know kind of our area and world. But it's bad a lot of places. It's bad in America. It's bad everywhere. Thailand is one of the worst for children. But it's because I saw a solution that was so good. Like you walk around the promised land and it's not like a destitute orphanage where everyone's, you know, sad and beleaguered and the kids look terrible. Like there's God there. There's life there. There's joy there. It's amazing. You can't tell which kids were rescued and which kids are biologically belonging to family of staff. Like, you can't tell. You couldn't pick them out in a lineup. Can't tell by their behavior. Can't tell by their action. And so we've been there working with them, and we love it. We're there because Jesus told us to. And so one of my favorite things is, so the prevention, we're trying to prevent. And so we get to do outreach like crazy. It's awesome. And I get to go with these teams, and they have families that are high risk that we find out about. And based on their situation, so a lot of trafficking isn't like a windowless van driving down the street. It's people who are, most, over half the world's trafficking with children is due based on poverty. So they can't afford to keep their kids, so they sell their kids, or they're looking, they are told there's a better situation or better thing, and so they send their kids off to something better. Or they put their kids to work in different situations. And a lot of times, you know, if you have a teenage girl, there's only a few things she's good for, and usually it's some form of prostitution. And so they put them to work. So it's poverty. So we find there's families that are at risk, and so every month we're taking food and trying to keep them afloat so that they don't have to worry about that, so their kids can stay in school, their kids can be supported. And so I get the opportunity a couple times a month. Just we go and we sit in huts, and I get to talk to Buddhists and Muslims and animists who believe there's spirits everywhere. So I live in a culture that's very spiritually driven. Everybody has charms because they're trying to ward off evil spirits. They have these spirit houses because they give offerings to the spirits. Like that, but that's normal. Like that's really common. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but it's amazing. I get to bring salvation, talk about Jesus, get to pray, get to do so many things, and it's just odd. Like I wake up sometimes in the midst of things going, where the heck am I? Like I hope I don't fall through this bamboo floor because none of it was made for American, you know? I weigh like 30 kilos more than anybody ever there, you know? Like I'm so sorry. I've gone all metric because I live there. It's weird. Forgive me. But it's amazing. I love the opportunity. And where we live is about one-third Thai. It's a border city. And about two-thirds Burmese because Burma's in a civil war. And it's bad. It's really bad. Like all the horrible things you see in movies that you don't let your kids watch and you don't even watch the previews of, they're doing to people. It's really bad. And so there are thousands and thousands of refugees. And so we get to work with these refugees. And there's sometimes where sometimes it gets really bad on the border. Like you can hear it really bad, you know. And so people will just flood across the river. It's a big river that basically between Thailand and Burma. And so there are thousands of refugees just hanging out for a couple days until it cools down. And so I've had the opportunity to go, like we went and got food and supplies and loaded a truck, and we just go, and we're handing out blankets and we're handing out food to people that are just sleeping on tarps, sleeping under trees. They're hanging out, and they're literally waiting for things to cool down so they can go back and see what's left of their home and village and whatever, you know, whatever happened, because the fighting is right there. And so the first time I did that, we were going at night. And it's just those odd moments where we're driving at night, we get closer to the border, and the people I'm with, they're like, turn off the lights. And so, shut the lights down. And I'm thinking, okay. I go, are they going to shoot at us here? I thought it was a reasonable question. Why else would you turn the lights down? And one of them goes, no, no, no. But sometimes they miscalculate with the big guns. And she was talking about mortar shells, you know, those like little grenade launchers you drop. And in my mind, I'm like, that's a big miscalculation. Like, when I did math, if there was an error, I didn't carry the one, nobody got blown up. Like, that's just, like, in my Western mind, I'm like, that's not a math error. That's not a miscalculation. You're going to, like, it's an international border. You're going to shoot a bomb. Like, it was, and they just, it's just part of life. And I'm like, okay, I'm not in Kansas anymore, like, or Michigan anymore. But it's just those funny things that you just get involved in. So lately we've had these opportunities. There's a church in a mountain. You saw it in the video, the pastor that I was with. We got connected and they're outside. They're adjacent to, they actually live in the biggest refugee camp in Thailand. There's over 9,000. And we started helping and supporting that church. The first time we got to go there, it's a long drive through the most horrible road I've ever driven. Like, you know, my faith grew immensely just driving this road. And I get there, I'm like, hey, can I use your restroom? And there was this pause, you know, like, yeah, you know, and they just kind of point and showed me the way. But in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, it's not very nice, you know, but I've gone in a lot of huts with holes and, you know, nice isn't really what I was looking for, whatever. So I went, it was fine, but what I didn't know and found out later that the squatty, you can Google that later and see what their restrooms look like, the squatty was very old and it was very full. So the contents was eroding the ground underneath. So their pause was going, okay, is that big guy gonna crash down? Like, they were actually concerned there'd be a cave-in if I went and used the bathroom. And so that's one of the reasons we had the opportunity. I didn't know that till later, and I didn't, thank God. But we had the opportunity to help them financially so they could actually build new facilities for what they're doing. And so it's really, really fun. It's just great. I love what we get to do. It's really wonderful, and it's really challenging all at the same time, and it's fantastic. And before I forget, because I do forget, before I start getting into the preaching stuff, I got to tell you, on the way out, you'll see a table. We have brochures, and we have magnets. Please take them. Put a magnet somewhere. See my family. They're really good looking. They're pretty. I adopted my kids, so that's not narcissistic. They don't look anything like me. All right, so they're beautiful, and my wife's hot, and so I'm happy, so that's great. But pray for us, think of us. We love you. You can sign up there. There's QR codes, or you can scan to just get newsletters. And then if you feel in your heart, people always ask, hey, what do you guys need? We need prayer. We need support. And so if you're able to connect with us, you can go to our website. You can go through the QR codes. You can just visit newlifecommission.com. It's pretty easy to manage, and you can support us, and we'd be super grateful. But a lot of times I hear ministers, and maybe you're like me, but I hear ministers, and I'm like, oh, man, they're like the star quarterback, you know, and they're rocking it, and they're amazing, and I'm not that guy, sorry. Like, they have the perfect prayer and the perfect verse and the perfect, you know, they're always perfect, and I'm like the guy who had the ball and then I fumbled it. But I'm on Team Jesus, so he picked it up and he ran for a touchdown. And it's pretty great. So I want to pray real quick, and then I just got a couple things I really just had on my heart to share with you. So Father, I thank you. And the time that we have together, just do whatever you want to do. Give me your words. Give me your heart. Let's see your face. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. I think it'll probably be behind me, but it says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you about God's secret plan, for I decided while I was with you that I would forget everything except Jesus, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timidity, trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speech, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So we're at this home visit, and this is where I say I fumbled and he wins, and I'm visiting, and there's a new guy in this house, and we're dropping off food, but I'm getting to pray, and it's pretty basic, but I'm praying, and I hear him in my heart. God said there's something demonic there. And so this guy had went to a witch doctor at one point and asked to see the spirits. So he was tormented. And so I do you want to be free? You know, simple question. He said, yeah. So we start praying, and he's really quiet, really shy, really reserved, doesn't speak English. We're praying. He starts screaming no in really clear English. And I'm such a man of faith that it scared the bejesus out of me because it was so loud. Like, I jumped, and I'm like, oh, okay, so we're getting somewhere. Great. And so we finished praying, and I asked him, you know, hey, how you feel? What's going on? He's like, I feel light. You know, I feel free. Two translations later. And so I said, all right, you always saw that. I'm going to pray that you see Jesus. And so I start praying for him, and less than a minute, he goes down. But I don't know what happened. I'll be really honest. I don't know if the Holy Spirit just hit him, and he went, you know, holy roller, or if there was something demonic that was trying to protect its host and just took him out. No idea, but he didn't wake up, and we left. So I came back a couple days later, and because I wanted to know. I'm like, what happened? That was weird. And so I ask him, I start talking. He's really shy. He's not talking, but the people he lives with go, I'm like, did you feel a difference? Did you see Jesus? What happened to you, you know? And they're like, he doesn't scream anymore. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, he used to scream and shout and have episodes, and I'm like, oh. So and they're like, he doesn't do that anymore. I'm like, awesome. That's cool. And they go, he walks now. I go, he walks? They go, yeah, he didn't walk before. He used to actually go to the bathroom a lot of times on his mat, and we'd have to clean it up. He couldn't actually wash his own clothes. He couldn't bathe himself, so we were actually bathing him and caring for him, but now he takes care of all his own stuff, and he walks. I'm like, I didn't even know he was sick. Like, I didn't know. I was completely ignorant. I had no idea. So I'm like, really? Like, I felt like a spectator in the coolest sport ever. I had no idea what happened. I had no idea what was going on. I'm just watching, and it's awesome. I just had this opportunity to be as obedient as I could. But I see us, and I'm like, we don't need to be perfect to be used. I don't need to know everything. I'm just trying to have a heart of obedience, and I'm trying to follow Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's just there, and he's like, hey, help me out. You know, Romans, it says the power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That's Romans 8, and I'm just like, that's amazing. So what do we do? 2 Corinthians 5, you've seen this. I'll start in verse 17. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone. The new life has become. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself. Brought us back to himself. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, but he gave them the wonderful message of reconciliation so that we are Christ's ambassadors, making our appeal through us. God is making his appeal through us. So we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Like, this is my job. I'm just an introduction guy. Like, have you met Jesus? Yes. Have you met Jesus? We had a group come in, and long story short, basically, we went, and we're sitting in a single mother's home, and she's Muslim, and they're giving, everything was scripturally accurate, but it was kind of a religious speech. Do this, this, this. It was like a pattern, you know? It was almost like they were just giving the four bullet points. And she just was like, I don't like when people just tell me what to do. Just, I appreciate it when people tell me I matter and they love me, you know? And we still have a relationship with her. It didn't burn a bridge or anything like that. And so I say, hey, new strategy. We went to a home of a man who was at one point training to be an imam. So he was a pretty dedicated Muslim. And I said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask him a story, ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in what to talk to him about. And it was amazing. We got to pray. God healed his back. We prayed for his wife. Her heart got open. She talked about, she experienced peace. And I said, all right, the first home, we tried to give him Christianity. The second home, we introduced him to Jesus. And there's a difference. Like, there's a big difference. And it's fun. That's all you want to do. I had this, oh my gosh, I got stories for days. But it's fun because I'm like, that was cool. That happened. So I'm on the side of we're at a hut. There's four of us. There's four people there. They're Burmese. And I'm 20 yards from the Burmese border, a river, 150 yards from a Chinese casino on the other side that I know is full of people that they have kidnapped and are trafficking and all this kind of stuff. But we're there in the heat. This is the least churchy environment. I hate the heat. Jesus has a sense of humor because I sweat every day. It's 1,000 degrees in Thailand every day. It's terrible. Anyway, but it's hot. And we're praying for people, and a couple of them got healed, and I'm with some people, and they're like, what do we do? Like, do we salvate? Like, how do we? And I said, I tell you what, let's try something. Because why not? What do you got to lose? I experiment. I don't know what else to do. I'm still trying to figure this out. I go, all right, if Jesus is the one true God, because you have heard of gods, you have religions, you have idols and statues, and I don't want Jesus to get lumped in, because he does. Sometimes he's like, oh, yeah, I'll take that one and put him, you know, in the Rolodex of gods. And if he's really God, he can talk to you. I don't need to. And so I said, if you're willing, I said, I'm going to pray and ask tell every voice that's not God to be silent. And if you open your heart, Jesus will speak to you now. And you're like, what if he doesn't? What if he does? What do I got to lose? It's not my rep on the line. They don't care. So we did. And so we prayed, and it was amazing. There's a guy, so there's four of them, and then my translator's next to me, and there's a couple Westerners that were in town with me. And so, you know, we pray for a few minutes, and I'm just waiting, and then we're done. And I'm like, all right, if you're comfortable, you know, you see anything, hear anything? And this guy in the end is covered in goosebumps, and he starts freaking out. And he's doing this, and he's talking, and the translator's going, oh, and oh, and I'm like, oh, what? You know, tell me this, because he's like animated, and he's crazy. So he starts describing that he closed his eyes and he watched a glowing man come down and land on the river. And his hair was white and flowing. And he's going on and on about this hair. But it was, and he watched him walk up to him and touch his forehead. And I'm like, I didn't see nothing. Like, that's a, like, I'm freaking. I'm like, are you serious? Like, I almost don't believe him, but he doesn't know to make this stuff up. It was amazing. It was crazy. We had a lady, we did the same thing, and she starts describing to me, because it's really funny, because they have no church background. She's like, well, I don't know. It was kind of like I had all these ropes and chains inside, and I didn't realize I was in chain, you know, all tied up, but now it's all like broken off, and I just feel really free inside. She's like, does that make sense? And I'm like, way more than you know. You could preach, like, but I feel like a spectator, but that's what I did. I'm like, here's Jesus. He's going to fix you. That's it. It's insane, and I love it. because we just introduced people to Jesus. This my favorite story of this in the Bible is, go to Numbers 16. Numbers 16. We're going to start in verse 42. And this is one of those times where Israel was all mad and they're against God and they tried to kill Moses and they're angry. But I'm going to read this story to you because I love this story. It says, "But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned towards the tent of meeting, suddenly a cloud covered it and the glory of God appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of the meeting, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Get away from this assembly so that I can put an end to them at once.' And they fell down on their faces. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Take your censer, put incense in it along with burning coals from the altar, and hurry into the assembly and make atonement for them. Wrath has come from the Lord. The plague has started.' So Aaron did what Moses said. He ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses in the entrance of the tent of meeting because the plague had stopped." Picture a stadium. This is over 1 million people. And I think of a wave, you know, like you're in a stadium, it's like, you know? But instead, God's got his hand at the back of the crowd, and he's just kind of wiping them out, and they're just falling dead. And Moses looks at Aaron, he's going, "Grab your stuff, the incense, and grab a burnt coal." This is what represented the presence of God then. And he goes, "Run." So Aaron grabs the presence of God, and he goes running into a crowd that was there to kill him. Like when somebody doesn't like your Facebook post, that's not persecution. You're okay. All right? He goes running into a crowd of people. They were probably cussing at him, dirty looks, giving him ugly shoulder. He didn't care because he was running. He didn't walk. He didn't jog. He was running because they were dying. He ran at a plague. And where he went, where he took the presence of God, death stopped. That's us. Like that's who we are. That's a picture of us. We get to take what God put in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Acts 1:8 says, "You'll receive power to be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Like, greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world." Like, this is it. You have that. And you are called to carry, not you. It wasn't Aaron's personality. It wasn't his pizzazz. It wasn't his cool shoes. It was what he carried that made the difference. It was what he carried. It wasn't him. He was the carrier. It wasn't him. He was the introduction guy. Like, in this, I'll tell you, this will help you. Jesus does all the heavy lifting. Like, he does. You're not anybody's savior. You're not anybody's healer. You're just carrying. But what you carry, what you have, what's in you, whether you're at your work, your job, you're working at the bridge, what's in you, where you go, death will cease. Where you go, you get to stand between the living and the dead and say no more. That's awesome. And it's fun. It's really fun. Because what do you got to lose? Honestly, I pray for people all the time. You know, some people, they didn't instantly get healed. I prayed for people and sadly they died. But I've never had somebody get sicker because I prayed. I'm serious. That I know of. You know, we'll see. But honestly, like, what have we got to lose? But I remember the story, you know, in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John, they're going to the temple and they see a man and he's crippled and he looks for alms and they ask for it and he just says, you know, "Hey, gold and silver I don't have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk." Here's the difference. They knew what they had. That's what we need. That's what you need. That's what I'm trying to learn. That's what I'm trying to experiment. That's what I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm just out there going, "Hey, what can you do, Jesus? Help me out." You just need to know what you have. Because when you know what you have, oh man, you'll run toward the plague killing thousands of people. Yep. When you know what you have, you'll stand between the living and the dead and you'll say no more. When you know what you have, you don't care if the demon is screaming because he's got to leave. When you know what you have, you don't care if they have a miscalculation. because you're going to figure it out, and Jesus is over you, and you cover yourself with the blood. When you know what you have, you'll talk to your coworkers. You'll pray for the sick. You'll do whatever. You stop caring because you're like, you know what I got? Ooh, buddy. We got to know what we have. We got to know what we have. I think in John 10:10, Jesus said, you know, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and more abundantly. I don't think that was to scare us from the devil. I think it was to give us marching orders. Hey, anytime you see death, anytime you see destruction, anytime you see loss, take my abundant life there.
That's right.
That's your target. Yeah. Go. And you're like, well, that's really cool. Listen, I'm the random guy that moved to Thailand, but I'm still the guy who fumbles the ball and just watches Jesus, and I'm like, this is cool. But I'm starting to know what I have.
Yeah.
And I got a willing heart, and I'm trying to be obedient.
Yeah, that's right.
And anybody can do that. Everybody can do that. It's who you are.
Amen.
It's who you were made to be. And so if you're here today, I got a couple big questions for you as we start to kind of wrap this idea up. But some of you, you might say, that's not who I am. I can remember, oh my gosh, I can remember sanding this stage and there still was sap in the wood. And I thought, man, these trees are hundreds of years old. They've been in this building for like 100 years. They were milled forever ago. But when that tree grew way back when, God had a purpose that the gospel would be preached from that tree, and there's still life in that tree. Now, it had been this floor. It had been greased on and spit on and stepped on and walked. It had been through so many. I don't care what you've been through. I care what you were made for. And I don't care if you come to church. I don't care if you've been in Bible studies. I don't care if you haven't met the person of Jesus. He's a person. I don't care about religion. I really don't. I don't care if people, these Muslim people I'm hanging out with, this might sound really bad. I don't care what title they give themselves. I'm trying to introduce them to Jesus because Jesus will transform their life. I don't need them to change their Facebook. They don't have Facebook, but whatever. Like their status of religion, I don't care. I want them to fall in love with Jesus. I had a woman literally who prayed for her son, and she basically, oh man, so many stories. Basically, she prayed for the first time to Jesus, and her son came home. And all the, he got off drugs, he paid her back for money, like, it was all this stuff. And I'm like, did that happen when you prayed to the other ones? And she's like, no. And I'm like, I know! Get rid of it. If you're taking a bunch of pills and you only get sicker, and then you take one pill and it changes, stop taking the other pills! It's pretty simple, but that's a person. I didn't give her a formula. I didn't give her a script. I didn't give her a religion. I just said, you got to meet this guy. He'll change everything. So have you met him? No, I mean, have you met him? I'm not saying did you pray a prayer once upon. I mean, have you met him? Who, buddy? Because he's something. He'll mess you up. It's awesome. I'm not kidding. You'll start running at plagues. You'll start loving people you hated. You'll start finding purpose and love in your life. Like, who, buddy? Yeah, you guys should definitely come up. Sorry. But have you met him? I'm going to pray as we kind of just wrap up. I just want to pray and see what the Holy Spirit does. But if you've never met him, I mean, I've heard about Jesus. Man, I've heard about a lot of things. I've heard about, you know, I've heard about the president. I know who he is. He walked in, I'd recognize him, but he don't know me. I can know about someone without knowing them. I'm asking if you know him. I'm asking if you're friends. I'm asking if you die, will he recognize you? And be like, hey, you're here. That's what you want. I want a shouted greeting at the pearly gates from a friend and a savior. So if you don't know him, I mean, you don't know him. You don't know him like you've seen him. You've been touched by him. You've crashed into a God who loves you and bigger than you. Like right after service, there's a room that people want to talk to you. We can pray in a group, but I mean, they want to connect with you. You get back there. Why? Because you have to. You got to know him. You got to meet him. You have to encounter the Savior of the world because he's real and he's a person. And if you see someone come down and touch your forehead, you got to tell me because I'm jealous. But I'm not kidding. But if you're here and you're like, you know what, I don't know what I have. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I think I'm supposed to be more. I think I know I'm supposed to, you know, John 4:4, it says, you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over the people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. So I just want to pray. I want to pray for people who might not know him, but I want to pray for people who don't know what they got, what you're carrying. Have you ever done that? Ever found money in your pocket and you didn't know was there? Isn't that the best? You know, you're like, $20, yeah. But all day you had it. You could have spent it. You could have used it. You could have done it. You didn't know it was there, but it was always yours. Man, if you're a follower of Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit. It's in you. You got to know what you got, because what you got enables you to stand between the living and the dead. What you got can change your family, can change your neighborhood, can change your workplace, can change anywhere Jesus calls you to stand. And death stops where you go.